Welcome to The Weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
And this week on The Weekly, harassment at Gen Con 2022. Spice Dao looking for a buyer.
Ooh.
Actually, they don't even exist anymore. Dragonbane RPG. Mm-hmm. War Machine Mark IV. And Wicked Ones. And a new expansion on Kickstarter.
Ooh, okay.
So let's get started with the ugliness. And as you may have noticed, we have already set up our BIPOC lounge at The Weekly here. So we're featuring Eric M. Lang's work, of course.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, well, 50%. And that leads us to the controversy of our first story. So it kind of like, I think what got the trolls and the edgy kids all fired up here. So Gen Con has reported harassers targeting marginalized attendees.
Okay, I have heard this, yep.
Yeah, so, but they're saying, so initially they're like, well, obviously somebody hacked their the information, the registration information or something. This is Gen Con's fault.
Right.
Or it's volunteers or someone working with Gen Con.
Right.
So they got blamed and Gen Con's like, no, we would never contact people this way because it's all text messages and phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
So we would never contact people this way. We would just send them an email from a GenCon.com address. And the messages, which... they've reviewed some of the harassment. So people are sending in screenshots and things of harassment. So bigoted language, threats of violence, and Nazi dog whistles that were sent to people. And Gen Con's response so far has been that that's not us. And it seems to be linked to social media.
Okay.
So it's people that have had clashes on Twitter or Reddit or wherever with people of color or LGBTQ plus people. And decided to dig and get some information. And so, you know, either doxed them themselves or found somebody that had information so that then they could harass them. So August 2nd, Letia Jacquis, sorry about the pronunciation, a community manager at Monte Cook Games, shared a Twitter screenshot of something that they received. A text message that said, "This is Gen Con security. I'm having to ask you to empty your purse and pockets. I've gotten reports that of an uppity black woman stealing dice and cell phones. Ma'am, please calm down. Stop resisting. All right, that's it. We're going downtown. Why can't you people behave?"
Mm-hmm.
So just typical Reddit, 4chan nonsense. Somebody trying to, you know, trying to be cute and show off to their, you know, their group. So people have continually been filing this. Kelsey Magpie Danger, the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Advisor, that's the consultant for Gen Con, said, "Gen Con officials don't suspect that any information was leaked or that it was insider collusion. The interactions were from bad actors online that have already had previous clashes on social media." So what brought the attention to this, and why did I reference a BIPOC lounge? Well, the conservative media got a hold of this email that went out to Gen Con attendees that announced that this year they would be featuring, and let me get the details here. This year at Gen Con, in partnership with Rose Gauntlet Entertainment, we will be providing a lounge area for Black, Indigenous, and people of color, professionals and attendees. Attendees will find games created by BIPOC designers, a BIPOC creators game library, and BIPOC art, scheduled events, giveaways, refreshments, and a space to meet with fellow members of the community. Aspiring professionals will find a space to meet other professionals, sign up for one-on-one meetings, and obtain resources on companies hoping to work with and mentor BIPOC creators, etc. That sounds fine. It's like at a bookstore.
Well, okay, sure. It sounds fine.
It's like at a bookstore. It's like, here's, you know, authors of color. Here's, you know, women. Here's, you know, young authors. Or even most conventions, there's an indie area to kind of let you focus on not the big boys and see what, you know, actual creators that invest things, they invest themselves in their work are doing. So
that's a bit low.
immediately this was interpreted as, oh, there's a velvet rope that's going to say no whites allowed and non-BIPOC allowed. And that's exactly what happened. There's this huge debate. I think this is not inclusion. This is keeping people out. They shouldn't have said lounge, because I think that conjures the image of like fans and being fed grapes and velvet ropes and like, this is an exclusive area for special people. And because that lounge also means, if you're dealing with airlines or whatever, a place to get away from the crowds, a place to cool down, have some refreshments. That's not what this is. This is a networking spot for people and focusing on that.
Excellent point. However, there is no way or no name that you could have called this thing. Where trolls would not be upset. So on the one hand, BIPOC Lounge. Fuck you. That's what we're calling it, right? Because you're going to be mad anyway. So.
Right, right. Well, that's a good point. And I think, I forget where they said that it leaked, but some conservative news source ran with this, and then the invasion of yet another cherished hobby of white nerds. Yeah. It's like okay, but so that's a shame. That's really a shame. And so I think this should be part of the segment of this is why we can't have nice things.
We all know why we can't have nice things, right? And if you're one of the people wondering. No, I think we have nice things. I don't really get into this. You're part of the fucking problem, right?
Right. Yeah. So it's just a shame because, we're seeing a rise of like more organized groups that are focusing on all like BIPOC produced, creators working on projects together, doing things. Even Wizards of the Coast did a supplement.
Oh, that Radiant Citadel.
Right. So there's some attention. So, there needs to be some energy and some focus, and it's not excluding everyone. No one's game is getting thrown, out the door. Because they're not a part of this group.
I forget who I had this discussion with before, but it was a similar discussion like years ago. And it's like, okay, I guess in a sense you could say this is exclusion, right? But like, okay, I'm going to do another metaphor, right? Like if you go to like an AA meeting, right? And you don't have, maybe that's a bad analogy, but I'll run with it, right? If you go to an AA meeting and you're like not an alcoholic, right? You're kind of expected to sit there and shut the fuck up because this thing is not about you, right? If you go, well, I'm not an alcoholic, but then like your experience is not what's being centered right? Mm-hmm. We're not saying don't come. We're saying this is for people with this experience or of this identity. And if that's not you, maybe sit down and shut the fuck up. So even if you want to contribute, right? Like you're not going to have the same experience. You don't either because you didn't have that experience or that's not your identity. So it's not that we don't want you to contribute. It's that not here because you can't contribute the thing that, or you can't contribute to what the discussion is about.
Right. Yeah. I'm a little bit offended that you equated indigenous people and alcoholism, but hey,
okay. Like I said, that was a bad analogy and I apologize. That was like, okay. Taken out of context or even I see how that's.
Oh, right? Somebody's clipping it right now.
Yeah. Can we have a sensitivity reader? Right. Yeah, right. Okay. That was a bad example. Right.
But I understand what you're saying. And it's too bad that, I don't know. It's just a spotlight, a feature. Every con does that. They focus on a company. They focus on somebody that's doing something that's like, building up momentum or getting attention. And the fact that this has to be like, oh, well, you're just being exclusionary by being inclusionary.
It's
impossible.
It's like the affirmative action. People were like, okay, they're not getting the spotlight because they earned it or they deserved it. They're getting the spotlight because of who they are. Right. So you're it's never going to make those people happy. So
yeah.
A hearty fuck you.
Yeah, and you got to remember, Indiana is pretty much still the home of the three guys that still think they're in the Klan. So I think it was something dropped by the Gen Con PR. I think they should have been a little bit more aware of kind of who they were dealing with and how they were going to run with that. Mm-hmm. And not make themselves a target like
that. Well, on the other hand, like if this had came out any other way, they were going to be a target anyway. So I still kind of go with the people are going to be mad anyway.
Yeah, that's true. If they messaged all attendees. Yep. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, moving on to something that we teased last week. The Spice DAO is no more.
Oh.
Yes. So they have...
The Spice has flown?
The Spice has flown all out. Yeah. So they've changed their name to Spice Club. And this is part of this transformation that they're in the midst of.
Okay. I got to stop you right here.
Yes.
This sound and like no shade here.
Right.
This sounds like a group who like the Spice Girls.
It could be. Yeah, it's sounding they've shifted away from Frank Herbert and they're focusing directly on Sporty Spice. So as we remember, these are the fellows, the collective of of individuals that purchased the Jodorowsky Dune production Bible, pre-production Bible.
Sorry, remind me, did they purchase a physical copy?
Yes, they have a physical copy for roughly $3 million, and that was pooled resources from their DAO, which is an Ethereum-based coin or token that they have. So to be part of this, you buy their Spice token. And of course, the kind of first stumble and complete collapse of crypto meant that their coffers just dried up completely. They found out what they intended to do wasn't possible to do. They wanted to archive, make NFTs, and make available the contents of this book. They don't have the rights to do that. They want to produce stuff based on it. They don't have permission from the Frank Herbert.
Right, that's what it was. For some reason, they thought purchasing a physical book somehow meant they then owned the rights to the images and stuff in these books. And sorry, bros, that's not how it works.
So this is part of their redemption phase one, where they're transitioning into Spice Club. They're offering people to burn off their tokens for a very small percentage of what they probably originally bought them for in Ethereum, or to still continue to participate and get a share of the money because they still have active projects. They commissioned one of the writers for Love and Robots to write something. They're doing NFTs with Frank Miller. I don't know how that is a thing.
So back to racism.
So anyhow, so you can still kind of participate in this, or you can just kind of jump ship. It sounds really silly. And the one of the founders said they really wish it would have worked out better, I guess was the quote from them. So
I think that's a nice way of saying we should have done a research.
Yeah, we should have known what the heck we're doing. So, I mean, that's good, though. I was worried that the rise of these with actual financing behind them, these fandoms power
actual
groups.
Actual financing crypto, right?
Right. Well, it was actual for a while. And then, so I was really worried that this was going to be the rise of these horrible hordes of actual financed fans that were going to have influences on things and buying things out. But not. It's right. Not.
Didn't mean to bring this up, but you saying that, okay, yeah, it was crypto. Yeah, it sucked. Yeah, the people that were behind it were kind of naive. But it does kind of show that if you get enough people together with enough capital, you can actually do something. Right. So, and I think unfortunately, I think more and more that's what's going to have to happen to make any kind of meaningful change in any part of society, right? Enough people get together with enough money to just kind of challenge these big corporations and stuff.
But we're going to be seeing a lot of implosion and stuff because people have a lot of people, especially the people that make their money this way, grifters? Yeah, aren't like very well-intended people, and they're looking to pull rugs and leave town. So, yeah, it's going to be rough. And at this time, there is no official or no willing buyer for this insanely overpriced. They wanted to try to get the price back to the original that they paid, and it's way overvalued, like maybe more than five times what anybody would even pay for the book. So, so that's all for that. we won't be seeing that anymore. And hopefully they are paying, and it's coming out of their treasury right now, they are paying for the actual maintenance of that book. So it's in storage where it's not going to be damaged. It's not under somebody's bed or in a garage or anything.
Right. Oh, interesting. All right.
So we'll see. I got an email.
Ooh.
An email that I was wondering what happened. So we talked about the sale of IPs from Riot Minds. Mm-hmm. So Riot Minds dumped everything. And I'm like, well, wait. Riot Minds has Dragons and Demons, the original. They have that's how they were founded. They have the rights to Drekker och Demoner, the rights of that original 40-year-old Swedish RPG. What happened to that?
Yeah.
Well, we just found out. Free League announced Dragonbane. So Dragonbane is going to be a new edition of the very first Swedish RPG, and finally in English after 40 years. Mm-hmm. So I was always under the impression that Trudvang Chronicles was
the translation.
It was an English translation, but perhaps it is a different system after all. But they did, that company did own the rights. But so that was the illusion. That was what I was the assumption I was under. Supporting that game, but this is going to be a new take on this. They want to update, of course. So maybe learning from the mistakes of Riot Mind. If that was the original system, then maybe people were just a little bit turned off by the crunchiness and the modern tastes, just didn't make it that popular.
But it was a stale, musty one.
The announcement said, "We are thrilled to announce Dragonbane RPG, brand new edition of Sweden's first biggest tabletop role-playing game, Drekker och Demoner, now to be published in English for the first time." So back in 82. So this makes it the 40th anniversary. Is a brand new and reimagined edition. So one foot firmly planted in the heritage of decades of Swedish gaming and the other in the modern and innovative game design for which Free League is known worldwide.
I got this email as well, and I was mildly curious. Less mildly, when I saw the heft of the book and the mock-up picture where it's massive, where, I don't know, just giant books, just like, they're not an additive factor for me. I look at that and go, why? But I am kind of, we've talked before about how, not insular is maybe the wrong word, but how kind of regional TTRPGs can get.
Right.
And now with the rise of technology, it's in communications, it's easier for these kind of disparate groups that have developed their own TTRPG culture and own games from in different locations to kind of cross-pollinate and share ideas. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that interests me. I want to... I'm actually a little bit less interested to hear it's a modern take. Like, I understand they're not just going to reprint the old rules. I kind of want to see what those old rules look like, right? Yeah. Like, I want to go, like, what started this in Sweden 40 years ago, right? What did that look like?
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, okay, 4 decades of growth and improvement and stuff, like, okay, what does it look like now, right? And of course, I have nothing to compare that against except what's currently happening with D&D. And I hope to God this is not 5e compatible, because that would, like, that would be a, like, if it ends up being 5e compatible, just because that's how close the systems are, cool. If they go, nope, we're going to retrofit it for, I don't want to see that, right? I want to see what Swedish gaming kind of looked like.
Right, right. So. And the thinking, the thinking that's yeah, their whole different take and something separate. I think they should position themselves directly against 5e instead of saying, well, we want the sales. I mean, going to Kickstarter, they are looking to...
That seems to be, unfortunately, what Free League is doing, because Blade Runner did it.
Yeah, yeah. So they're testing.
Yep.
And maybe there isn't enough knowledge of, this is the original game. And or also, because it's a new edition. Yeah.
Or like you said, because if they are going up against 5e, maybe some people said, you know what? There's just too big of a risk here. Let's kickstart it.
Right. So this new edition is designed from the ground up to facilitate fast and furious play, very little prep and time... time and adventures that are a breeze to run. Very little prep time.
So Fast and Furious kind of encroaching on Savage Worlds.
There you go. And so this is the thing that made me go, I'm not sure what this... So the game, Dragonbane, is a game with room for laughs at the table and even a pinch of silliness at times. Well, that's going to happen. You don't have to build that into the rules or anything. We call this playstyle Mirth and Mayhem role-playing.
Okay,
they're going to do a lot of adventure, a lot of adventures. There'll be a complete campaign in the starter set, and stretch goals will give you further adventures. I don't like them underlining the fact this is fun, this is wacky. It's like your table decides how wacky something is. You know, the system doesn't need to, roll for laughs. It's not.
That being said, it's like, okay, it would never be like roll for laughs. But as someone who kind of feels that systems matter, and why are we playing? If we're going for this experience, let's choose a system that kind of reinforces and emulates that. Like, there are comedy games, right? Okay, I've never played it, but Paranoia, right? And that's probably baked more into the setting than the system. Mm-hmm. Or even Fiasco, something like Rules Light. Like, no part of the system, which is very light, encourages one sort of comedy, right? But you could play that as a comedy just because of how it works.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's one of those things, I'm kind of with you where, did you have to underline that? Or I'm sure it sounds like Mirth and Mayhem had capital M's, where I'm like, you probably didn't need to do that. Mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, but hopefully this is going to be at least a love letter to that type of gaming and an update to make it more acceptable or make it more approachable, make it more playable, because it's not going to be basic role play. It's not going to be a D100, basic role play system. So we'll see what they do. And if you're kind of following the continuum of how they're evolving the Year Zero engine, this might be interesting, because they may be using a range of, because Blade Runner is interesting. It's feels similar to what they did with Twilight 2000.
Right.
So it's interesting. I can see where they could go with this and still keep it very fantasy and have it not be exactly Forbidden Lands. We'll see how this goes. A lot of people, recognizable people, are involved, kind of the best that have been working with Free League. So Johan Egerskrans, and also a name I hadn't heard, but Nicholas Nacht Odag. Okdag is a novelist that's going to be writing for them. So he writes a lot of historical literary fiction. So we'll see how that goes. So the illustrations and everything, I hope it's good. It's going to be a good quality product.
Right.
And we'll see if they get us some early rules, what this system will look like.
That's the part I'm interested in,
mm-hmm.
Because, I'm not... Fantasy is one of those genres where it's like, you can do some really interesting stuff, if you go the kitchen sink approach to try and encourage everybody, then that's like a turnoff for me. It's like, it's everything.
Right, so right. Just
relatedly, recently someone on Twitter posted up images, illustrations for the upcoming Spelljammer box set, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is related because they said, hey, let's focus in on this one. Those are space clowns. And look, they have a pie-flinging catapult on the back of their ship, right? Uh-huh. And I went, okay, a couple things. One, that it's D&D 5e, so I probably won't be getting it. Two, the illustrations still look amazing. Uh-huh. Like, that's great, fantastic artwork. Space clowns.
Yes.
With a pie-throwing catapult would completely take me out of the game.
Yeah, right.
And of course, that being the internet, people thought, I meant, they could not possibly exist, right? When I said, no, that would take me, very clearly, right? Read. But I guess getting back to what you said about, like, comedy, it turns out that in, like, the original Spelljammer, those space clowns are a direct reference to Killer Clowns from Outer Space, the old 80s movie, which is actually pretty good. And they were purposefully put there as comedic relief to counteract or to go against sort of the cosmic horror background of Spelljammer. Because you have all these kind of like evil alien races and stuff. I'm like, okay, that's pretty interesting, right? And that they're being included in this new one kind of made me think about, okay, well, they're there to inject wackiness. And I kind of did the same thing. Like, this is something people at the table and individual groups are going to have to decide. Like, what level of wacky do we want? And I had a couple discussions or short discussions with people where I said, like, okay, if the entire Spelljammer was pushed as sort of tune, then yes, okay, this makes perfect sense. This kind of fits for me. Otherwise, it's one of those things where some people are going to look and go, absolutely love it. This is fantastic. Other people are going to go, what the fuck, right?
Mm.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what that about that mirth and mayhem for the Swedish RPG, like, what's it going to be? Is it going to be kind of like grim, dark fantasy? Then all of a sudden, whoa, yuck. Because if so, like, not really interested.
And I hope they do take a strong position on what the world is like. Right. Kind of like what they did with Forbidden Lands, where it's like, this is messed up. And halflings and goblins are kind of the same thing. And if you have a goblin baby, you kind of throw it out the window. And,
or feed it after midnight.
Yeah. So you, there were a lot of like interesting kind of darker takes on fantasy tropes. So hopefully that's kind of built in. And I'm not sure like what the setting is going to be, because there were multiple settings for that game.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, Chronopia was one of them.
Right, Chronopia, Trudvang, and there's, I think, a third that was the original. So we'll see what they actually end up going with.
Well, now I'm wondering if you could play Chronopia on this.
Oh, that would be great. That would be great, yeah. We should see if that works. Another email.
Oh.
War Machine is getting a new edition, so Privateer Press is at it again. And I wasn't blown away by how they approach things. I took a look at some of the – they have the beta rules and beta cards for things. And it seems like they're simplifying and streaming down. Somebody equated it to what the entry-level Infinity is. There's a style of a play for Infinity, Code 1, that kind of takes all the rules and cuts them down to nothing. It's like a free book or a free PDF you can download so you can learn the system, but there's not the depth of strategy and all the complexity of how rules interact. Okay. But it gets you know, buying some models, playing some games. And people said this is what this feels like, as they're really trying to bring people into it. It's a kind of a little too simplified. And they're rolling in. So people are like, well, wait, you're doing a new version of a War Machine. What does that mean for Hordes? Well, Hordes is going to be kind of rolled into this setting. So eventually, maybe not right away, but eventually they'll either be there'll be Warcasters or
Warlocks.
Yeah, Warlocks, yeah, that can run your... run your little crew.
I don't think that'll happen. Okay, I didn't read the rules, but as someone who tried to play War Machine Mark 1 and Mark 2 and spent way too much fucking money back when the models were metal, like tried to buy every enough to play with every faction, then finally dumped all my stuff, and then 6 months later a group here said, "Hey, let's start War Machine." I said, "No, fuck you guys, right? I'm out." Right? So, I'm a little bit sour on that.
Mm-hmm.
I read their goals, their goals are to, like, and I'm not going to run on, it was like, streamline this, simplify this, eliminate these kind of fiddly little movement rules, facing is gone, right? They very clearly laid out the goals of what they wanted to do with the game. One of them was customizable war jacks and war beasts, which makes sense from a model perspective. and rolling hordes into War Machine, in my opinion, makes sense, right? Because back when it was Mark II, you had to buy a War Machine core rulebook and you had to buy a Hordes core rulebook. And they were standalone games, but they also worked together, right? It was different parts of the same world. Lots of rules were pretty much the same, except for how War Jacks and War Beasts worked. And that difference was pretty cool, right? Okay, War Casters fed focus to their War Jacks, where Warlocks reaped fury from their beasts. And that difference was cool, right? But you could play them against each other. And for like troops and stuff, the rules were essentially the same. So now saying we now have this one rule book where here's how Warlocks work, here's how War Casters work. I'm not going to buy it, but I'm fine with that because they were essentially the same, like two halves of the same game. And now if you're going to be playing against them anyway, put everything in one book.
Right.
So,
yeah, there was also a mention that they're going to do the miniatures. So they're doing all new miniatures and they're doing different. They're doing it a different style where there'll be a lot of options. So the customization comes in. There'll be multiple heads, multiple arms in one kit. So you can build many different types of jacks from one kit. Or I guess it's the you can configure that. Yeah. You can actually use the pieces and you're not making a different. So people probably will. That's right. And they will be accounting for magnetizing. The miniatures will be built with already the little divots for your
because rare back earth when I magnets. Did it, you had to do it yourself, right? It was like, here's the ironclad warjack, but you'd also build this and this and this. And I'm like, well, fuck you guys. You gave me the stat cards for it. I'm going to magnetize this bitch, right? So War Beast was a little bit harder because of the way like organics kind of fit together. Yeah. But yeah, okay.
Yeah, so they're doing that. And the thing they're also promoting is 3D printed. So this going to be in-house 3D printed resin, which I think they mean Seocast.
Okay.
It has to be because I don't think anything else is going to be durable enough to actually like ship.
Right.
So what they are saying is this is great. So everyone that can ship from Seattle, wherever Privateer Press is based, they're going to get great shipping. It's going to be produced very quickly, easily. But international players are going to have to wait for someone to set up manufacturing locally, and then it will be cheap and convenient.
So Privateer Press, look, I'll go read this because Privateer Press has no plans to set up international printing.
They want to, once a base can be set up for either Europe or Asia, then it's going to be cheap and wonderful and everything. But and actually not that cheap, but that's not happening yet. And if the game doesn't grow, if this version doesn't take off, it's not. So this could be a very localized North American game.
Yeah, it could. I guess the only, and I don't know if they would do this, one way to do that would be to not have an all call, but like seek out the large production Etsy people. Or not necessarily Excellent Miniatures,
and like
but I'm thinking like people like Excellent Miniatures and go, okay, look.
Yeah.
We'll help you to license this stuff, right? Maybe not free, but like, right? Partner with someone who's already doing this.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually would probably mean once Privateer Press was in a position to, or maybe they never would be, to set up their own overseas thing.
Right.
But I think doing that would give them not better PR, but like, hey, international people, your stuff will be just as cheap or at least not as expensive, right? As American-only shipping.
Yeah, if you want a miniatures game to take off in Australia, produce it in Australia so people are not paying insane shipping.
Yeah.
And,
or Japan.
Or Japan. Yeah. We can probably put it over there.
That would be good.
That would be good.
In other words, Privateer Press, if you're listening.
We're placing our order for the Seocast machine as we speak. Yeah, so as you were saying, there's a lot of changes to the rules. They're adding command cards, so kind of single use.
That, to me, sounded like the new Warhammer 40,000, where you had like I forget what they're called, and you would like the points. Mm-hmm. Right, and it's just kind of like,
So we'll see. And it's been one more thing to produce, because the biggest criticism I've heard of Mark III is that they were going crazy producing models. They didn't get the rule books out and the books that were updating the different factions models out in time. So people had all of these new models and hobby shops were full of their shelves were full and no rules to play.
Right.
So it was very frustrating. They had a problem with that. Production and distribution. So that was a real turnoff. So hopefully they can get it right this time. And I don't know, but
This means I'm like one of those things. Okay, we're up to version 4. If if they're smart, as much as possible, the models from Mark III will be compatible with Mark IV.
Yes. Like, yeah, I think they're trying.
I don't imagine there's that radical a change in the game, but it's like, okay, we don't have to put out Mark IV models because everyone has a decent amount. Here's just the new rules, right? And we can kind of, we don't have to rush to get these starter boxes set up or ready for the new players we're hopefully going to attract.
Yeah, I don't know, because they mentioned they're going to have kind of two ways to play. There will be a starter box, which is going to be Orgoth and Signar. And they were talking about two ways to play, like an unlimited and let me see. Unlimited and prime. So prime is the prime is like using the new rules, the new models and all the new stats. Unlimited will be stats for everything, all the old stuff, which is a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And so you'll be able to use all existing models and also, you know, with the new models as well.
Age of Sigmar and Warhammer Fantasy?
Yeah. So,
I mean, I said that and maybe it's uncharitable because for companies who have something like that, it's a smart move, right? Alienate a lot of your, or a portion of your player base who says, no, I'm not upgrading, I'm not going for the new rules.
Yeah.
Allow them to continue to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know, though. This doesn't seem like it's possible, though, because Games Workshop has woken up. And I think the only reason Privateer Press gained any ground that they did is because Games Workshop had no social media presence. They'd abandoned the tournament scenes, and like they were right. really fucking up. They've woken up, and they're very active now in social media, and they're paying attention to, you know, what customers are saying. And they're impossible to compete with because they're eating up everybody's hobby dollars.
Right. But depending on what Privateer Press does, GW may have burned goodwill with that, like Warhammer Plus or like new models being one pose where you can't convert
right?
So if they were smart, Privateer, and I don't know if they have the ability, Privateer Press would maybe try and capitalize on that. Being like, okay, look, you also can't discount how rabid or not Privateer Press fans are, So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. So I wish them well. And I think this is probably, if any company could do it or should do it, this might be a company that would move into licensing for 3D models and things to support. Right. Because if they could get people to pay for stuff and we're like constantly adding new parts and innovations and things and selling them both as STLs or printed models, this might be the chance to do that. And that would be one step ahead of what anybody is doing, actually an established company. But who knows? I mean, maybe everyone's still shy about that because once those files are out there.
Yeah, I have to imagine that's what companies think, right? Like once we release official STLs, we have no control over them.
Right.
And I think the way to offset that, and who knows, the price might be, is to do the licensed 3D prints, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're still at a point where not everybody has a 3D printer, right? And they're still kind of rare. So the STLs being out, yes, means some people will be able to do it. Let's rely on the people who don't or are not going to pirate to buy the official CO-Cast or 3D printed stuff through our licensed partners. And maybe that'll be enough to kind of, you know, counteract the loss we got on STLs. Yeah.
Yeah. So I hope they figure something out. That would be fun to see. Because the setting is fun and the RPG.
It is. Absolutely not buying anything more for that, right?
Right.
Like I've bought way too much miniatures games recently. North Star Miniatures in September is coming out with a female barbarian kit. Osprey War Games just came out with a second edition of Lion Rampant, which is like, and I'm just like, right? So like, no, there is too much stuff.
Too much War Machine
and Hordes, the setting is pretty cool. Not doing it. Absolutely, I can't. And if I do, just no. Permission to do something terrible to me, right? If I come in next week and say, well, I bought that Star Kit. No, just, yeah.
I'll split it with you.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
No, I still got to mortgage my house to pay off the Monster Hunter board game that's coming soon.
That's right. No. We got to clear some serious shelf space for that, too.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And last but not least, as a matter of fact, I spoke with Ben from Bandit Camp on
social media.
Yeah. Discord.
There you go, Discord.
Discord. Yeah, one of those things grandpas use. And oh my God. So we were going to have do an interview yesterday.
Right.
Okay. But we had to postpone. And so Monday, I'm going to talk with Ben. And why would I be talking to Ben? Because Bandit Camp is and he is the designer of Wicked Ones.
Oh, cool.
And Wicked Ones came out. There was a 2019 Kickstarter, and they played it safe at the time. And this was pre-pandemic, too, but they said, okay, we're going to do print-on-demand fulfilled by DriveThruRPG and a PDF of this game. They produced a great game that turned out to be really popular. They did the smart thing and did a free PDF, like took out some of the content and the artwork, or not even much of the artwork, and did a free PDF, and it continued to gain in popularity. So they're going to go back. And they've also, and they did Relic last year.
Okay.
So they're in the middle of finishing up Relic, which is a gorgeous, like, slipcase, multiple volumes, kind of based on the Colossus game.
Okay.
The, that game where you're climbing on Colossus.
Right, right. Okay. Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah, Shadow of the Colossus. Thank you. And, so Wicked Ones is kind of based on Dungeon Keeper. So you're playing the monsters, and you're playing bad guys, and you're trying to keep the good guys from stealing your stuff.
Yep. Can you really call all them bad guys then?
Well, they do an interesting explanation of that, like how they kind of want you to play this. Like, you're a B-movie villain.
Right.
You're not a sympathetic evil. You're not a sympathetic bad guy, and you're not a cartoonish bad guy. You're kind of that middle ground of, like, yeah, you've got bad motivations, and you will do bad things to protect what's yours. And it's not like, oh, you're just misunderstood, and the good guys are actually the bad guys.
Right. We're not going to do a sympathetic origin story next season, right?
Yeah, and they really lean into, like, you know, the demons and demigods, your power and magic and energy is based on demonic forces. So they keep underlining the your affiliations kind of in this world. So it's a Fortune in the Dark tabletop game. So it uses that system, and it has things like pillaging, rituals, concoctions, contraptions, discoveries deep in the ground, dungeon rooms, traps, and creatures and minions. So basically a lot of, like, constructing traps and basically doing things to keep out the marauding adventurers.
Yeah.
And this new Kickstarter is also, there's going to be an offset print, hardcover edition of that. And it's going to include a standalone expansion of the game that is called Undead Awakening, where you're playing as rotting dead, and it's taking you out of the dungeon. And so you're kind of, you know, marauding across and, you know, sacking villages and things, but you're slowly falling apart. So you're powerful, but you're losing that power. And there's kind of a final, like, a bell is tolling, and there's like an end times to your existence. So it sounds really fun. And the artwork, the artist they got, they have that's worked on both of these games is wonderful. And I think also did the Relic game.
Oh, nice.
So really good stuff. And they heavily support, I think because of the pandemic, and this was kind of a pandemic project along with Relic, they produce really good VTT assets.
Oh, cool.
So supporting both Roll20 and Foundry for their games. So that's always a pledge option or something you can do is get a all digital version of this.
Right.
So the free PDF for Wicked Ones is available right now as we speak. So you can go check that out for free and see what you think of the game. And if you like it, get it for your bookshelf and have a really nice copy, not a washed out, you know, POD, but a really nice offset print with a nice ribbon bookmark and all that good stuff. And they're doing dice. They did custom dice and everything. So they're like kind of color coded. So they're very easy to recognize the states of your role.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, so high quality, everything. And so we'll be talking to Ben about kind of the origins of this idea, how the company, and they're based in Japan. So no time zone difference. They're in another.
Yeah. Nice.
So that's,
I think I may have played a prototype of this game like a couple years ago.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, nice, nice. So we'll be talking. And yeah, if you want to get in on that interview, maybe we can
get it Monday lunchtime. I gotta work late.
Oh, okay.
Summer intensive course.
Oh no.
Hold on. Half the instructors are gone.
Oh no.
Staff doesn't get time off. Yeah.
We can just call in sick.
I could.
Like everyone wants to. So it's a 6x9 hardcover, and it's gonna be a slipcase, including Wicked Ones and the Undead Awakening. And keep an eye out for that, and look, keep a look on the channel, look out on the channel for Ben from Bandit Camp, and I will have a little conversation.
Yeah.
And if Chris is on on your lunch break,
I'll at least be watching, possibly.
Okay. All right. But so that's it for this week.
Yeah. So where can people find you?
Oh, my God. I never expected this. So I'm still drawing my single panel gag cartoon, Domestic Abuse, and that's Abuse Cartoons on both Twitch and YouTube. And I'm streaming to Twitter last week. I don't know what that means, but I actually did that. And you can see that cartoon on gocomics.com/domesticabuse. And this is the 20th anniversary of the cartoon. So there's thousands of them for you to read.
What metal is that?
I don't know. It's an unvaluable stone, some sort of
quartz,
rare wood. I don't know, like an exotic Hardwood. And where can people find you?
On Twitter, as always. That's HiveMind, HYVEMYND, where I'm spitting out pixel art stuff for assets that I've purchased and have ideas on how to use, but nothing solid.
Right. Cool. And what we're doing here with the weekly is you can support that by going to patreon.com/upturntable, and upturntable.com is where you'll find all of this and what we're doing. If you become a patron, we've got an RSS feed of all of this banter and dialogue straight into your ear holes and a little bit cleaned up. So it's not so,
not your ears, the audio.
Not so air conditioning. And thank you to everyone that's supporting us, the members on YouTube as well. And if you look, there are a few new emojis. There's both a Chris and a Jeremy emoji in there.
I can only imagine what my emoji looks like. Oh, geez.
But we can you know swap some out. But yes, and there's so new pledge levels and everything. And thank you again, K5, last week for pitching in for the dedicated follower free memberships. Yeah, nice. that was cool. Really excellent. So everyone's got those for a month, and then Chris is now K5 just spammed Chris's emoji. Oh. Yes, and mine as well. Brutal. All right. So thanks for joining us. We'll do this again next week.
Later, mortals.
Goodbye.